G'day and welcome to Conversations on Faith FM with Robbie, Alicia and Brad. This is your place to explore faith, life and everything in between. Text in your thoughts on today's conversation on 0488 185 00. Now, get ready to join the conversation right across Australia, right here on Faith FM. Hey, and welcome to Conversations once again on another Monday afternoon. I guess it's a Monday afternoon if you're listening live, because today is Monday, the 5th of August when we're recording this program. And my name is Brad. I'm coming to you at the moment from our Faith FM studio here in sunny-ish Melbourne. You know, it's a bit of a surprise for this time of year in August. I guess we're past the middle of winter, so for there to be a bit of sunshine, a bit of vitamin D in the air is not a bad thing. Hey, welcome to Conversations. And as the intro mentioned, this is a show where we talk about faith, we talk about life, and we talk about everything in between that. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. Remember, you can text in at any point on 0488 185 00. There's all sorts of different phone numbers that we use here at Faith FM. So 0488 185 00. If you'd like to text in and join today's conversation, it is actually just me today. So I'm actually really looking forward to getting your texts and your messages and seeing what it is you think about what we are going to be talking about. Because what we're going to be talking about a little bit is to do with journeys. Now, I think pretty much everybody in the world, maybe everybody in Australia at least, has taken a journey at some point. Now, it might be just a short and, I mean, you know, what do we mean when we say a journey? Because I think some people, when you say a journey, you're thinking, you know, like an epic trip on horseback across the country. Remember that film Australia that came out, I don't know, 14, 15 years ago now? Kind of like that, you know, a big epic journey, an epic adventure with all sorts of crazy things going on, all sorts of challenges, you name it. Is that what we mean when we say a journey? Maybe a journey for you is the last time you drove out to visit your family or you took a flight somewhere. That often feels like a bit of a journey for me. It wasn't that long ago that I actually took a bit of a journey, and I'd call it a journey, over to Western Australia. So I live in Melbourne, but I flew over to Western Australia to teach a unit at Mamarratha College, which is an Indigenous tertiary institution over in the hills of Perth. Beautiful spot. But to me, I'd call it a bit of a journey, right? Because, you know, it takes a bit longer to get over there. You got to think about all the things you need to take. So it's not just like a day trip, you know, where you whack a couple of pieces of fruit in your backpack and your laptop or whatever, and off you go. This is the sort of thing where you got to think about, okay, well, I got to pack, you know, 2 weeks worth of clothes. I got to think about, where's my toothbrush and my toothpaste, and do I need to take nail clippers? You know, all these kind of small, minute things that typically we don't really think about that much, because at home we just have them sitting in the same spot. They're always there. We know exactly where to find everything. We know we have enough to get by. But when you take a trip somewhere further away, a bit more of a journey, then you actually have to start thinking about some of these things that maybe we take for granted every day. Things like food. Where am I going to eat? What's going to be my next meal? And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I travel, especially when I'm by myself, you know, if I'm with my wife or with some friends, you know, then it's not too hard to figure out, oh, what am I going to have for lunch today? What am I going to have for dinner today? But sometimes when I'm over there by myself, I can get a bit paralyzed going, there's so many different things I could possibly choose from here. You know, so many different types of food, and what do I actually want? Which can feel a bit different to when you're at home, where it's just like, well, I bought some pasta, I'm going to have pasta. Easy, you know, you're limited to what's there. Whereas when you're somewhere else, you're not really limited in the sense that you can really kind of go anywhere. You can try anything. I mean, I guess maybe you're limited by your budget. You know, you're not exactly going out having five-star meals every night, maybe. But I want to ask you on 0488 185 00, what is a journey for you? What you know, what distinguishes just a little trip or some travel or whatever it is from a journey? You know, 0488 185 00, keen to hear what you think. Feel free to text in and join today's conversation. I wanted to give a quick shout out to a couple of texts that came to programs a little while ago. There was one from Tippi mentioning how she shared a video with us from an episode where we were talking about how animals seem to have this interesting, almost divine connection with humans, right? That when, you know, they're really in trouble, animals will actually often come to people and, you know, ask for help in their odd kind of way. And this is, you know, this can be animals that are typically prey animals or predator animals, which I think is kind of cool. And, you know, we talked on the show back then about how it's, I think, symbolic of the order that God created the world in, how he created humans to care for animals and look after them and watch over them. So thank you, Tippi, for sharing that video with us on 0488 185 00. Really enjoyed watching that, and I think it's absolutely a great thing. So part of the reason, yeah, I wanted to talk about journeys today is that in the Bible there are a lot of different stories about journeys, right? You know, probably, I mean, I'm curious to know what you, what immediately comes to your mind when you think about the Bible and journeys. Part of the reason I'm bringing this up as well is, you know, with the Olympics being on at the moment, because, you know, if you're listening live, it's Monday, the 5th of August, 2024, and we currently have the Olympics going on over in Paris in France, Vive la France. There's a lot of athletes who will have made a real journey, not only to travel to Paris for the games themselves, but they will have been going through an incredible journey of training, you know, of difficulty, of hardship, of discipline, in order to even make it to the Olympics at all. You know, I remember growing up as a kid, well, you know, I can't say growing up as an adult, that sounds a bit funny, but growing up, I used to do a whole bunch of swimming training. You know, you call it squad training, is the term. Maybe that's what it's still called today, don't know. But in squad training, we had this coach who was a former Olympic silver medalist. He's a Japanese guy, and he trained us really, really hard. And I don't mean this to be harsh on the guy or anything like that, but man, he really pushed us and pushed us and pushed us. And, you know, if we rocked up late, he would get mad at us and tell us to swim extra laps. If we were taking breaks between the laps, he would get mad at us and tell us to swim harder and try harder. And boy, man, it was really tough going. But in doing that, you really do actually develop a sense of discipline. And discipline is one of those things that's really important when it comes to any sort of sport. You really have to be willing to put in the work even when you're not feeling like it. And I think, you know, this is one of the challenges that we often face, you know, in any sport or different parts of our lives today. To be willing to push through a challenging situation, even if we don't feel like it, because we understand that, you know, by pushing through, there's something positive on the other side. Now, I'm not saying you should burn yourself out or anything like that. That's a little bit different. But hardships, you know, there's certain hardships that are worth facing because we know that the outcome of these are positive, in the same way that there's certain journeys that are worth taking because the potential reward is so great. So, you know, for a lot of these Olympians who have been training, I think of the story, you know, of Usain Bolt, for example, who, you know, we think about the Olympics, it's every 4 years, but, you know, for Olympians, they're not just training, you know, in the couple of weeks leading up to the games. They're not just training in the 6 months beforehand or even the year beforehand. Most Olympians are training their entire life in order to make it to these games, these competitions. So, you know, that in and of itself is a journey. You know, you've got to, I suppose, come across good teachers. You've got to find good journey mates, people who are doing this with you, in order to assist you in developing that discipline. You know, how hard is it to just get in the pool and swim laps by yourself when there's nobody else there? I don't know about you, but I found it really tough. because you don't really have a, I guess, a bit of a measuring stick in order to sort of brace yourself is not the same word, but kind of pace yourself there. Not the same word, but like same sort of rhyming. In order to pace yourself, it's actually really helpful to have somebody else swimming, even if they're on the other side of the pool, and even if they're significantly better than you or slower than you, it doesn't really matter, because by seeing their sort of pace, you can actually pace yourself. So you could try and swim at the same sort of speed as them. You could try and take a break at the same sort of timing as them, you know, whatever it might be. But then progressively, as you do that, you get better. Your stamina improves, your power improves, whatever it might be. So it's actually definitely a real journey to go from an amateur to an elite when it comes to sport. And I guess, you know, we often think about things like our careers as a journey, right? You know, you start at the bottom in some lowly position and you progressively gain more experience. You work your way up until you are in a position where you are managing others who are at that position that you used to be in. You know, often we think about that as a journey. A lot of the books, a lot of the stories that we read and that we find really interesting and exciting follow a structure that's called the hero's journey, where you have, you know, somebody who's comfortable in their average everyday life, and then some sort of event happens that forces them out of their comfort zone into a challenge, into the big bad world, where they have to progressively overcome more and more difficult challenges in order to correct the situation or the problem or whatever it was that caused them to be, I guess, forced out of their original situation in the first place. You know, when you look at a lot of books, even when you look at the way we report news stories, particularly on character profiles and things like that, you'll find that these sorts of things often follow this kind of hero's journey of saying, you know, what was it that led this person to where they are now? It's always this idea of a journey. So journeys are obviously something that's really important, you know, culturally in our society, in our history, whatever you want to call it. Journeys are something that are really important. And, you know, we are going to look into on conversations today, we're going to look into the Bible, because the Bible has a lot of stories about people taking journeys as well. And, you know, we're going to look at the story of Abraham and the journey that God called him to go on. We're going to take a bit of a look at the Israelites who were called on a journey, you know, led by Moses through out of Egypt and to the promised land that God had called them to go to. And we're also going to look at Jesus, because Jesus took journeys and his disciples as well took all sorts of crazy journeys into all sorts of different places. So that's what we're going to be talking about here on Conversations Today. I'm Brad. You're here with me this afternoon. And, you know, it's just me. Robbie and Alicia are away today, unfortunately. So I'm going to need your help in joining in the conversation on 0488 185 00. That is 0488 185 00. Thanks for being here with me this afternoon. And remember, you can always find past episodes and all the free offers connected with past episodes of Conversations at the Faith FM website, which is faithfm.com.au, or you can download the Faith FM app for Apple or Android. We're going to hear a song now. We're going to hear Kane with Lifeline. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few minutes' time.
I feel lost at sea, past the point of rescue, out here in the deep. Afraid that I might drown. I've never needed anything like I need you now. 'Cause I can't stop the rain, I can barely keep my head from going under. But when I say your name, you reach down and pull. All my life, you've been my lifeline, my lifeline. I tried to save myself. Nobody thinks they're helpless till they're crying out for help. Well, it's finally sinking in. At the end of my rope is where the rescuing begins. Oh, 'cause I can't stop the rain. I can barely keep my head from going under. But when I say your name, you reach down and pull me out of the water. All my life, you've been my lifeline, my lifeline. Mm-hmm. I can't stop the rain. I can barely keep my head from going under. Jesus, when I say your name, you reach down and pull me out of the water. All my life, you've been my lifeline, my lifeline, my lifeline. My anchor in the storm, I know I'm gonna make it. My heart is tied to yours, my lifeline.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00. Hey, welcome back. That song you heard just there was Cain, C-A-I-N, with Lifeline from their album Jesus Music. A cool song, and I think it's really appropriate when it comes to the conversation we are having today, which is all about journeys. And have you ever taken something that you would describe as a journey? You know, before the break, we were talking a bit about how Olympic athletes go on a real journey, not just in their travel to Paris for the Olympics, but in terms of the actual journey of development and training and discipline and all those things that are required in order to actually build up the strength and the stamina, the skill, however you want to put it, to become an amazing high-level athlete who can compete at the Olympic Games. That's a real journey that they go on. So on 0488 185 00, I'm keen to know what is something that you've had in your life that you would consider to have been a journey. Somebody texted in about, you know, moving interstate is a real journey. And I think that's true. I actually have some friends that I met up with when I was over in Perth. I mentioned earlier in the show that I've traveled over there on what felt like a bit of a journey to do some teaching at a unit at Mamarapa College, a really, really great Indigenous tertiary college over in the hills of Perth. If you are an Aboriginal person and you're looking to study the Bible and get to know more about Jesus and how to share Jesus with the people around you, make sure you check out Mamarapa College. It's a really, really great place, doing some really great work. I will find you the URL for it because it's definitely worth knowing a bit more about. So mamarapa.adventist.edu.au. Go check out Mamarapa College if that takes your fancy. But yes, I recently, when I went over there to do some teaching, I thought to myself, I got some friends who not long ago actually moved from the church that I used to attend in Melbourne at Burwood. They took a real journey to move over to a town called Northerham, which is about an hour kind of northeast-ish of Perth. Interesting little town, and that's where some of their parents lived. So for them, in order to actually move there, was a real journey. And, you know, like a lot of journeys, right? Do you actually often go directly to the place that you're heading to, you know, straight to your target, straight to the goal? Or do you actually go, you know, in some slightly different directions to see different things, do different things, see different people? Well, my friends didn't actually just get in their car and drive directly from Melbourne. You know, the Bleary, I guess it would have been like a double midnight express because it would take you a couple of days to drive over there. But no, they traveled up and they caught up with friends in Sydney. And then as they were traveling there, they, you know, going through a bit of the inland route and seeing different things, stopping at different places, actually really enjoying the journey rather than just trying to rush through as fast as humanly possible. So I'm curious to know, for you with your journeys, are you a, you know, going to get there as fast as I can, can't stop on the way, see anything because it's the goal that's the most important thing of getting there? Or are you more of a, oh, actually, yeah, no, I don't mind stopping off and seeing different things and kind of taking it easy along the way? 0488 185 00 if you'd like to let us know about that. But yes, you know, traveling interstate can be a real journey. You know, one journey that jumps to mind for me was several years ago now, 12 years ago, I think. I went over to Nepal with a group of people from my church up in Newcastle back in the day. Shout out to anyone who's listening from Charlestown. And we went over to Nepal to do some volunteer work at a school over there. We're doing some building, some teaching. You know, we introduced what's called pathfinders, like scouts, to Nepal, which I think is pretty cool. And then we also took a little bit of a journey in terms of a hike through the mountains. And these are the Annapurna Mountains. And, you know, we did basically a big old trek through, seeing all the different mountains from all these different angles. It was really neat. You know, we'd stop and stay at these little villages and towns and that sort of thing. And I remember one place, you know, we'd been hiking for, I think, 4 days or something like that. And we kind of got to near the high point of this journey. And I mean, like, high, geographically high. It was about 4,500 meters. So a lot of steps to get there, basically. But it was a pretty cool thing, like this whole journey to get there. Because the first day, my goodness, you know, doing steps for like 8 hours straight, oh, wears you out. But then the next day, it's not that bad. And the day after, it's not that bad either. Actually, I want to tell you about a funny little story I had one night when I was there. We were staying in this little village, and it was on a pretty steep spot in this trek, right? You know, I don't know what I'd say the angle of the ground was, but it was probably like 45 degrees. And we were staying in this little hotel kind of thing that had these struts underneath it because it was kind of sitting up out over this big slope. And, you know, you could look out, you know, you look out the window and it was a pretty big slope. You know, if something happened and for some reason you fell down, you would probably be tumbling down the hill if you weren't able to stop yourself for a good part of a kilometer or two. It was pretty steep stuff. And I remember like kind of seeing that before I went to bed and going, yeah, all right. And so I get into bed in my sleeping bag, sleeping on this little bunk type thing. And I got my mate next to me. His name was Luke, and he's in this other one. And lying there, and kind of the last thing I'm thinking about before I fall asleep is, you know, oh, I hope, you know, it would be really bad if something happened. You know, we'd be stuffed, wouldn't we? And then fall asleep, all seems to be well. And then in the middle of the night, I wake up with this sudden bang. And I just thought to myself, it's an earthquake. The hotel thing, it's fallen off. We're going down the hill. We're all going to die. It's over. Oh, man. And, you know, just that instant catastrophe on the spot. And I was just, oh, man, what is going on now? And, you know, like I jumped up out of bed and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, oh, what's happened? What's happened? You know, we're not sliding down the hill or anything like that. What had actually happened was my mate on the bunk next to me had rolled over and fallen out of bed and just bang, straight onto the floor. Funnily enough, he was still asleep. I don't know how we pulled that off. Maybe it was, you know, the thousands of steps that we just walked on that day. He was zonked or whatever it was. Clearly, I hadn't walked enough steps, you know, to actually tire me out enough to not be afraid of whatever. But yeah, that was a funny bit of a journey. But yeah, you know, walking through these mountains really did feel like an amazing journey, you know, to just see mountains like Mataputra, you know, one of the tallest mountains in the Annapurna Ranges, from all these different angles, to see the sky in a different way you'd never seen before. You know, in this funny little school we stayed at a place that was at the very top of the trek, basically. It was really neat because they'd built a volleyball court. Nepalis love volleyball and basketball and all that sort of thing. And so, you know, in doing this journey, I was doing things that I never expected I'd get to do, you know, playing volleyball, right? In the top of the Himalayas. I mean, not really the top of the Himalayas, you know, 4,500 meters isn't quite Everest, but yeah, it was a really neat thing. So sometimes journeys, you know, as we mentioned before, they're not direct. They have challenges, they have surprises. And sometimes in a journey, you may end up doing things that you don't expect to be doing at all. Journeys have these twists and turns. They have parts where you're speeding along and parts where you take it easier. And I want to actually jump over to the Bible now. And we're going to take a little bit of a look today, to start off with at least, at Abraham. Because from what we kind of understand, Abraham was one of the first people in the Bible who kind of went on a big journey that's recorded about, I suppose you'd say. And, you know, Abraham is a very important person in, you know, in the Bible, just in general. But also, you know, especially for the Israelites, he's considered the father of their nation. Not many people today would have that sort of title to them, would they? Not many politicians or kings or anything like that. But Abraham, you know, he is also considered to be an exemplar of faith in God, right? And, you know, there's a lot of things. Paul comments on how, you know, Abraham followed God's instructions and God accounted this to him as righteousness. So Abraham had faith in God and was willing to do what God instructed him to do. And, you know, God considers that to be a pretty important thing. So let's open our Bibles. I'm going to open mine. If you have a Bible, you can open it to, let's go to the book of Genesis. And we're actually going to start with a guy whose name is Abram. Interesting. Not Abraham. So Abraham, are they different people? I guess we'll find out. So if you open your Bible to the book of Genesis, and we're going to go to, let's see, we're going to go to chapter 11 and verse 26, I think, is where we might start. All right, so let's see. Genesis 11 and verse 26. If you have a Bible, feel free to open it. If you don't, no stress, we're going to read it out as we go. So it says, this is like a genealogy from Noah going down. And it says, after Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Okay, so this is basically saying, okay, so Abraham's father, his name was Terah. And then 27 says, this is the account of Terah's family line. He became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Okay, some interesting stuff in there. And we're going to keep going. Let's see. 31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, we've got two Harans, Haran and H-A-R-R-A-N and H-A-R-A-N. And it says, Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. Okay, interesting. So Abram is coming from a family who has done journeys before, right? It says here that his father was going to go from Ur. Ur was a big important city, and he was going to make the journey to Canaan. It seems as though he didn't quite get there, He got to this other spot called Haran, and he settled there, set up camp, and he died there. But Abram, it would seem, has a bit of this journeying in his blood. All right, we better quickly jump to a song. We're going to hear Paul Sultana with it as well. You are listening to Conversations here on Faith FM.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
listening to Conversations on Faith FM. That's right, welcome back. You are indeed listening to Conversations on Faith FM here today. If you are listening live, it's Monday, the 5th of August, 2024. We are coming out of the middle of winter. We are enjoying the Olympic Games that are going on over in Paris at the moment. When I say we, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm hoping that you are enjoying those sorts of things as well. My name is Brad. You know, you are here with me on Conversations today. Robbie and Leisha are both away, unfortunately, but we're having a good time. We are talking about journeys. We're listening to some good music. And that song you just heard there before was by Paul Sultana, titled It Is Well. Great version of an old hymn there from Paul Sultana's album Songs of the Story, Volume 1. Hey, today on Conversations, and you can join the conversation on 0488 185 00, we are talking about journeys. Now, journeys, have you ever been on a journey? Do you wish you could go on a big, crazy, adventurous journey? Is that what a journey means to you? Or is a journey of discovery, you know, learning about things, whatever it might be? There's all sorts of different potential journeys that you can go on in your life. Some people might even say that when you read a book, you are going on a journey because you are discovering the story that somebody else has gone through and lived out. So all sorts of things are journeys, you know, all sorts of interesting things. Often, you know, there's no such thing as a boring journey, because then we don't really consider it to be a journey. We'd just call it a slog is maybe what we would call it here in Australia, going on a slog. But today we are looking at a couple of journeys that have actually happened in the Bible. And before the break, we started talking about Abraham. And at this point, his name was Abram. And we mentioned that he came from a family that had started out on a journey. Okay, so Abram and his father and his brother and his wife, they lived in a city called Ur in Mesopotamia, I believe in modern-day Iran. Let me see if I've got it right. But anyway, so Ur was actually, you know, you'd call it like a major city of the ancient world. You know, during the reign of the Sumerian kings, so this is kind of 3000 to 2300 BC, this was a really, really important place. You know, archaeologists in the 20s actually discovered all sorts of graves there of the Sumerian kings. You know, not different in some ways to the actual old kings of Egypt, where the archaeologists discovered a whole bunch of what you'd call grave pits, where, you know, when the royal king died, all of the members of the royal court and, you know, the families and et cetera, basically killed themselves and were buried along with the king in the expectation of being able to serve him in the afterlife. And, you know, they found all these sorts of beautiful, amazing relics like harps, other instruments, gold bowls, silver jugs. Sorry, I got it wrong. So Ur is near Iraq. It's in modern-day Iraq, I believe, not Iran. But anyway, so there was this incredible, what you call a ziggurat, which was a big stepped temple dedicated to the Akkadian moon god. All sorts of things. So this was actually a big, famous, well-known, impressive empire, like this city that Abram and his father were moving from Ur. And for some reason, we're not told exactly why in the Bible that I'm aware of, Terah, Abram's father, and his family decided to move from Ur. And it says, let's see, they set out to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Okay, so let's do a little bit of, shall we call it biblical geography, if we will. So Ur, if you were to find it on a map, you would be kind of looking, you know, near the Persian Gulf, I think kind of near like modern day Kuwait. Oh, no, not Kuwait. No, I'm getting it wrong. Anyway, let me put it this way. If you were in Ur, and you're wanting to travel to Canaan, it would be like going in the direction of, you know, you would turn to the west if you were doing a direct route, right? You would travel west. I'm not exactly sure of the distance as the crow flies, but it's kind of funny that the Bible narrative actually says, so Terah, in wanting to go to Canaan, he goes out to Haran. Now, Haran is not in the direction of Canaan at all. Haran is actually about 1,000 kilometers north of Ur. And, you know, they settle there, and that's actually where Abram's father ends up dying. We don't know exactly why. I've got a sneaking suspicion because you actually had the river Euphrates running along basically in the direction they would have traveled. So it's possible that Abram's father, in starting to undertake this journey, had gone, well, you know, we've got a big family, we've got flocks of sheep and animals, and, you know, when it comes to traveling to this place of Canaan, we can do it, but if we travel directly there, we're going to be going straight through a desert. straight through a lot of mountains and difficult terrain and all sorts of things like that. And so it's possible that Terah probably looked at it and went, well, I guess if we're going to get there, going directly isn't going to make any sense. So they traveled off, heading to the north, and they ended up in this spot that was called Haran. Now, interestingly, Haran is actually one of the oldest cities on earth that is still inhabited today. Quite interesting. It was I believe it was founded by settlers who were migrating to the west from Mesopotamia in the 15th century BC, and it was part of the Hittite Empire. Lots of interesting things about the Hittites. You know, the Bible comments on them quite a bit, but a lot of ancient historians and archaeologists actually believe that it was all made up, and that was one of the reasons you couldn't trust the Bible, because it seemed to be that there was no evidence of the Hittites in the Middle East until, what do you know, a little bit later on, they dug stuff up and suddenly discovered, oh, well, maybe the biblical record is actually worth paying attention to. So, yes, the Hittite Empire, that's kind of where they ended up. Okay. And it says, Terah lived another 205 years, and he died in this place. Okay. So we've seen, you know, the start of this journey. Abram is used to doing some travel, from what it would seem, I would say. Now, we come to the next part of this story. So Genesis chapter 12. Here it says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you. Okay, interesting. And so what happens, right? Verse 4, it says, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Okay, interesting. So we have God appearing to Abram, and he calls him, you know, indirectly we see in the end, to go to Canaan. Okay. I wonder if, and you know, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but I wonder if this was the same instruction that God had given to Abram's father to travel to Canaan. You know, we don't know exactly, but I'd say it may be possible, but we don't know. So I'm not going to try and speculate on that. But God calls Abram to go on a journey. It's not going to be an easy journey. In order to make it to Canaan, they would have to travel, you know, again, around 650 kilometers. Now, I don't know about you, but even today, if someone says to me, all right, we're going to go for a trip. Okay, where to? Oh, somewhere it's 600 Ks away. Oh, do we have to? You know, is it really worth it? Like, you know, that's going to take a whole bunch of preparation, and I'm going to have to pack my clean undies and, you know, all that sort of thing. So this is no small thing that God is actually calling Abram to do, right? 600 kilometers today, you know, in a modern day where we have cars and hotels to stay at and refrigerated trucks that carry food for us and, you know, tap water and all that sort of thing. 600 Ks is, well, you know, I'd still have to plan for it, I guess, but I could do it. And, you know, it's doable in a day. It would be a bit of a big trip, but yeah, we could do it. But what about if you didn't have a car. You know, if it was just you and someone said, all right, you got to travel 600 Ks. And by the way, you know, the place you're going to, you're not going to know anybody there. They may not be happy to see you. And off you go. You'd have to be making some serious preparations in order to actually travel this 650 kilometers on foot, or maybe on horseback or donkey or whatever it might be. That's a serious trip. You know, it's going to take you quite a while. It might take you weeks, months, and maybe even years. Because you'll actually have to plan food for yourself, shelter. You'll have to find places to have water. And let's keep it real here. You know, Abram's not just traveling by himself. It says that he was taking his wife, his household, his nephew, Lot and Lot's family, and also all of the people they had acquired in Haran. So this big family, this big entire community, right, has to travel 650 kilometers through a difficult way to get to a place that God has told them to go. And I think this is why, you know, it says in later on in the Bible that, you know, by choosing to believe God and to follow him, Abram demonstrates some pretty serious faith. And this is not to say that Abraham, you know, same person, different name, didn't have his flaws and faults, as we see later on in the book of Genesis, doing all sorts of things that he shouldn't have. You know, at one point he makes it to Egypt, I believe it is, and the king of Egypt sees Abram's wife and has the hots for her, basically. And Abram, instead of saying, ah, no, actually, that's my wife, you can't have her, actually says, no, she's my sister, no stress. And then God causes all sorts of plagues and problems to happen. And by lying, Abram causes a lot of problems. You know, there's all sorts of things we could go into about Abram. But God called him to go on a journey, and he said, yes, I will do it. And that was accounted to him as righteousness, because he believed God, he trusted in God, and he did the thing he was called to do. I want to encourage you that that's an instruction God has for you as well. If he calls you to do something, you can trust that he's going to take care of you as you follow him to do it. We're going to hear now Jaden Lavick with Come To Me. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
What do you do? Rains. Where do you go when the world falls on you? Who do you call on when all your hope is gone? All your hope is gone. And what do you do in the pain? Where do you run when you're thirsty? Cry out to when all your strength is gone, all your strength is gone. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, my yoke is easy. On your own, how long can you wait to hold on to his helping hand? Hold on to his helping hand. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, my yoke is easy. Soul. There's rest for your soul.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00. You just heard there Jaden Lavick with Come To Me from his album The Road Acoustic. Pretty cool song there. Love a good bit of acoustic guitar with a bit of sliding. That's always a really fun bluesy sound. And if there's particular songs that you've heard on Faith FM that you've enjoyed, or maybe songs that you'd like to hear, feel free to contact us. You can always call us on 1-800-FAITH-FM and say, you know, hey, I'd actually really like to hear this song. You know, it's a new one and I'm really enjoying it. But we like to play a good variety of old and new music on the station here. So let us know what sort of songs you are enjoying at the moment and what you might like to hear. So you can call in on 1-800-FAITH-FM. You can send us a message on the Faith FM Facebook or Instagram pages, or you can text in on 0488 880 831. Now, you might have heard me mention there's a couple of different text-in numbers that we use for Faith FM. A lot of our live shows have different text-in numbers. So the generic Faith FM text-in number is 0488 880 831. So 0488 880 831 if you want to text in and let people know what songs you might like to hear on the radio. You can make requests. We dig requests. If you want to text in at any point to Conversations, you can text in on 0488 185 00. That is the show number for Conversations. And by the way, that's actually the number that I want you to save in your phone for Conversations, because on every episode, we have some sort of great free offer or giveaway. You know, last week, we had a offer that was to tell you more about the Worship Project, because we had Pastor Sylvia Mendez coming in and sharing a little bit more about the Worship Project, which is all about helping you connect with God in an ongoing day-to-day basis. And, you know, how there's not necessarily one strict way that you need to worship in order to follow God, how there's many different ways that you can actually connect with Jesus. So really great stuff. So on the show today, we also have a pretty cool free offer. And now let me tell you a little bit about it. It's actually a really cool book called Radical Discipleship. And this is, you know, stories about people who chose to follow Jesus and had their lives transformed. And, you know, in a sense, we could say Abraham was one of these people who chose to follow God and had his life transformed. He went from being somebody who had no children to somebody that did, which I think is pretty cool. You know, he went from somebody who had not really any land or reputation of his own, because he was just living under his father's name. But he became known as the father of a nation, which again, I think is something really cool. So this book, Radical Discipleship, is all about ordinary people accepting God's extraordinary grace and learning to follow him. So this is our free offer on Conversations today. If you would like to get your hands on this, I'm going to give you the code word for it right now. All you need to do is pull out your phone, and you want to text today's code word to get this free offer is C0805. So that's C for Conversations, 0805. You want to text that code word to our show number, which once again is 0488 185 00. So one more time, the code word is C0805. And you want to text that code word to our show number, which is 0488 185 00. Now, once you've done that, we have our SMS bot, which will ask you for some details, trying to get your name and like an address so we can actually send this to you. There's no obligations, there's no postage costs, there's nothing you have to do apart from just claim it. We send it out. We hope you enjoy it. And, you know, me for one, I'm not going to add this on as an obligation, but I'm always keen to know, once you actually get some of these free offers on Conversations, what you actually think about it. Because, you know, these books and the resources and things that we like to give away, they are really designed to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus and hopefully transform your life, make you live a happier, more fruitful life. So one more time, if you'd like to get today's free offer, Radical Discipleship in Following God, text our code word C0805 to the show number 0488 185 00. Now, don't stress if you missed out on it now. You know, we're going to share these details again one more time toward the end of the show. So nobody has to miss out. You can all get your great free offer here on Conversations today. So before, we mentioned Abraham went on a journey when he was called to follow God. This was very much a physical journey, going from with his father, traveling from Ur to Haran, and then with his family and everything else, traveling from Haran, the 650 kilometers down to Canaan. Another massive journey, no doubt. Now, some of Abraham's descendants, the children of Israel, as they are referred to, the Israelites, also were called on to go on a big journey by God. Now, at this time, they had a leader whose name was Moses. And by following Moses and following God, they were called to basically leave the kingdom of Egypt, where they were being held as slaves. God freed them through amazing miracles. And God called them to go onto a journey back to this land he'd called them before, to Canaan. Okay, interesting. And once again, it was not an easy journey to get there. There were all sorts of crazy, difficult things that happened along the way. The Egyptian army pursuing them and trying to recapture them. God parting the waters of the Red Sea and enabling them to travel through the sea on dry land. Guiding them as a pillar of fire during a night to help them keep warm in a freezing cold desert. And a pillar of cloud during the day to give them shade. I think that's actually pretty cool. God feeding them with this amazing thing called manna, which was like heavenly bread every day. You know, there's not much to eat in the desert, really, is there? but God provided. So when God calls you to go on a journey, here's the lesson in this, right? When God calls you to go on a journey, when he calls you to go somewhere or to do something, he is going to provide the means for you to do that. So you don't have to worry about, you know, even Jesus talks about this later on. Don't worry about what am I going to wear and what am I going to eat and all those sorts of things. Jesus says, because your Father in heaven knows those needs. And, you know, we see this exemplified in this whole story of the Israelites following God through the wilderness. Now, this doesn't mean that it was all fun and games. There's quite a few instances in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, where basically the people started having problems and they started complaining against God. And I'm going to go to the book of Exodus, going to go to chapter 17. It says here, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the direction of the Lord, and camped at Rehidim. But it says, there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people, it says, contended with Moses, got mad at Moses, and said, give us water so that we can drink. And Moses said to them, why are you getting mad at me? Why do you tempt the Lord, is the saying here. Now, the actual connotations of what Moses is saying here is, why are you getting mad at me? Because I'm only following what God has instructed. So if you are choosing to get upset with me, if you are accusing me of doing something here, you are accusing God. And in verse 3 it says, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So, so it says, so Moses cried out to the Lord saying, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to kill me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand the rod with which you struck the Red Sea, and go. Behold, I will come and stand before you there on the rock, and you will strike it, and water will come out of it that the people can drink. And Moses did so, it says, in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he named the place Massah and Meribah, because, so Massah means, let me just get it right, it means tempted, and Meribah means fighting, basically. Because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord saying, is God with us or not? Okay. Now we actually discover in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 95, that God was actually quite upset about this. If we want to read a bit of Psalm 95 here, It actually comments on, it says, "Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did at Massa that day in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me. They tried me, even though they had seen what I did. And for 40 years, I was upset with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they don't know my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." Okay. What are we supposed to get out of this, right? We can trust God, I think, is the point that's being made here. You know, and even in that psalm there, it says, you know, even though they had seen what I did, they tried me and tested me. And I think the point that's being made here is that, yes, God does call us to go on journeys when we choose to follow him. And they may not always be easy. You know, we saw the journey that Abraham had to take was not an easy journey, you know, hundreds of kilometers through the desert. Equally, Abraham probably would have had those same issues with how am I going to find water? But we can see here there's a difference, because the Israelites, when they were struggling, they didn't come to God and say, God, we recognize what you have done in the past in providing for us, in saving us, right? In doing all these amazing miracles. Please, we need your help now. Instead, you know, the attitude is a big deal. They came to God and they accused God. They were saying, you know, oh, you've done all those other things, but clearly you just wanted us to come out here and die. You don't really care about us. You know, if you did, you know, you would have already done this. And so, you know, the lesson we can learn from that is that when we approach the creator of the universe and we question his nature, we say, are you really loving? You know, do you really care about us? I think that upsets God, because God values the truth. And the truth is that he is a loving God. He's a loving being, and he doesn't like being misrepresented. Because the whole controversy in human history and the history of the world and the universe is about this question of his love and his nature. To say is, and when we accuse him of being unloving, it's wrong, is basically the answer, right? It's wrong in like a moral sense, but it's also wrong in a legal sense. Like if you actually took the case and you examined all the witnesses and figured it out, you'd actually go, well, no, it's not true. God is not unloving. God is not unjust. God is not unkind. God does care. Boy, we better go to a song. We're actually, man, we're shredding through the show today. We're going to go to hearing the group I Am They with the song King of Love. You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM with Brad. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back for our last segment in just a couple of minutes.
Shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever, and he is mine forever. Dust or fail, I fear no ill. promise faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing your praise within your house forever. Within your house forever.
You just heard there, I Am They with the song. Well, it's the song and the album, King of Love, because that's the name of both the song and the album. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM with Brad, because Robbie and Alicia aren't here today, but that's all right. We've been having a good time together, going through and discussing some interesting things about journeys. And thank you for everybody who's texted in and shared a bit about some of their journeys. And thank you for everybody who also has texted in to claim today's free offer, which is the great book called Radical Discipleship. And, you know, what is discipleship? Discipleship is following God, following Jesus. If you would like to get a copy of today's free offer, this book, Radical Discipleship, all you need to do, pull out your phone right now and text today's code word, which is C0805. So C for conversations, 0805. And text that to our show number, which is 04-888-185-00. So one more time, C0805, and text that to our show number 04-888-185-00. Now, if you missed it, don't stress. You can always just text in to the conversation show number and say, hey, Brad, I missed it. You know, help me out here. And I'll make sure that you get that all set up and working as it should be. So on this topic, we better actually go and have a quick look at the disciples, right? What I want to go to is in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, we actually see, and this is kind of after Jesus has delivered the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically where he expounds on what it means to be his follower. And then in some of the ongoing chapters, he goes through and he demonstrates what it means. He goes out, he heals people, he teaches, he shares. And then we get to chapter 10. And this is where Jesus actually calls his 12 disciples together and he sends them out. So we're going to go to, let's see, let's start from verse 1. So Matthew 10, verse 1 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, demons, and to heal every disease and sickness. Okay, pretty cool. It says, these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who eventually betrayed Jesus. Okay, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Now, there's actually quite a lot of instructions here, but we'll see. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belt, so any money. Don't take any bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that town or home and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Going on, verse 16, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Maybe you've heard that saying before. Be on your guard, because you will be handed over to the local councils and you will be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm till the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for servants to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Man, this is a lot of instructions, right? We'll keep going. So don't be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Pardon me. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Yeah, it's funny, right? Is this instructions or it's almost a little sermon? We'll see. 34. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Maybe you've heard that verse before. We'll come back to that in a sec. 35. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. 37. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of those little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Boy, that's a lot of instructions, right? I mean, if it was me and Jesus is telling me all these things as one of his followers, I'd be thinking, Jesus, what sort of journey are you sending me out on? Because there's all sorts of incredible things that Jesus is mentioning here. He's saying, you know, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them. Okay, wow. You know, that sounds incredible. You know, like I can imagine a lot of people who would say, oh, I'd love to be brought before all the rulers to share my knowledge and wisdom. But equally, you will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in synagogues. So there's highs and lows in this. You know, maybe you've heard the famous verse a little bit further down where Jesus says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You know, a lot of people actually look at that verse and say, well, clearly the sort of thing that Jesus wants us to do is to fight because he has come to bring a sword and he has come to, you know, destroy, you know, those institutions and people and whatever it might be that have chosen not to follow God. Interestingly, if you look into the Greek here, what Jesus is actually referring to with this word that is translated as sword is basically what we would call today like a paring knife, something that's used for cutting up meat, cutting it into small pieces. And so basically the idea of it is it's a knife that causes division, cuts things into smaller pieces, divides things. And we can see the evidence of that where he says, you know, I have come to divide households. I have come to divide a man and his father, a daughter and her mother, a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. So the point that Jesus is making here is he's not saying, oh, you know, it's time for my followers to pick up their swords and fight for me. And in fact, Jesus actually says later on when he's accused of being a rebel and all that sort of thing, he says, you know, I haven't come to cause this sort of fight. And if it were the case, then my followers would pick up their swords and fight. And even in the instance where one of Jesus' disciples does do that, when Jesus hasn't told him to, Jesus tells him to put away his sword and even heals the wound that has been caused to another person. So, you know, there's all sorts of great things you can get out of the Bible when you look at it a little bit closer. But Jesus is sending his disciples here on a journey. And the point that he's making is it's going to be a difficult journey. But if you follow through, there is an amazing award awaiting you. It says at the bottom here, anyone who welcomes me, anyone who welcomes a prophet as a prophet receives a prophet's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to someone who is my disciple, that person will receive a reward. You know, sometimes it's difficult to wrap our heads around, you know, what on earth is Jesus trying to say when it comes to all these sorts of things? Like, I think it's pretty clear to start with, at least, that Jesus is sending his disciples out on a journey. It's going to be difficult, but equally, he is giving them power from God to deal with those difficulties. And in the situations when their own power and their own knowledge and own wisdom is insufficient, Jesus is saying that it'll actually be God speaking through you. So I want to use that. I hope that that can actually be something encouraging for you today, because it's encouraging for me. There's certainly times when I don't know what to say, when people who are in positions of power might accuse me of things or challenge me on things, and I don't know what to say. But if I am following God's will, and that's the reason why I'm being accused of those things, it says that you don't have to worry about what to say or how to say it, because it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through us instead. One of the other things, what does Jesus actually say that the mission of, you know, the reason for this journey? Sometimes we forget about this. What's the actual reason Jesus is sending these disciples out? And we see here that it is to proclaim the message of the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And what does that practically look like? A lot of the Jews were expecting that the kingdom of heaven would be a conquering kingdom and that their Messiah would be somebody who would be a conquering king, you know, coming to throw out the Romans and establish the Jewish people as, you know, the ruling kingdom of the earth, and that everybody would be below them. But in fact, that's not what Jesus is saying at all here. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is near. And so the people would have been like, oh, okay, so then what does it look like? You know, are we getting recruited? Are we going to be getting our swords and our weapons, and we're going to be heading out and time to start training? You know, one of Jesus's followers, where it says Simon the Zealot, the Zealots were absolutely into this whole sort of thing. Like, their whole modus operandi was to try and cause as many problems for the Romans as they could in order to kick the Romans out and reestablish the kingdom of Israel. But Jesus doesn't call them to that. He's saying, if you are my followers, what you are going to do is you are going to be healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing those who have leprosy, driving out demons. He's saying, this is actually the journey I'm calling you to go on is a spiritual journey. And it's, the war is not a physical war. It's a spiritual war. And I guess that's where I want to leave you with today, that in the world, we are dealing with spiritual problems. Sin is a spiritual problem. You know, the cause of sickness and death and disease, it all actually comes back to a spiritual problem, which was caused by Adam and Eve when we chose to say, you know, God, you're not loving. Your way is not the right way. But when God calls you to go on a journey, you can trust in him. And maybe the start of that journey is just saying, come and follow me. And I want to encourage you that when you choose to come and follow God, you know, it doesn't matter what situation you're in, doesn't matter what you've done, where you are right now. Maybe you followed Jesus before and you've walked away. Jesus is calling you back and just saying, come and follow me. I've got a journey for you to come on. And the best part is I'm going to be coming on a journey with you. So that's been Conversations for today. My name's Brad. Thank you for joining me. I've enjoyed spending this time with you. Thank you, Roddy, who's texted in on 04-888-185-00. Thank you for everybody who's come in and claimed today's free offer. And one more time, if you'd like to get a copy of today's free offer, It's a great book called Radical Discipleship, all about these people that Jesus sent out on journeys. If you'd like to get your copy of that, all you need to do is text the code word C0805. That's C0805. Text it to our conversation show number, which is 0488 185 00, and we will get that to you. No cost to you, no obligation, nothing at all. Thanks for joining me on Conversation today. Hope you've had a fun time. I've had a fun time spending time with you, playing some music, sharing these stories. And tune in again, same time next week, where we will have another great conversation together. Bye for now.